Hi everyone, this is Ted Diamond. Welcome. I'm the director of the Diamond Institute. I'm with James French, who's a teaching assistant and on our team at the Diamond Institute.
Hi everyone.
Yep. And we are speaking today about the bodily aspect of mindfulness.
Yeah. Welcome to second episode of the Awareness Connection.
So I think it's a good starting point.
Yeah.
We could talk about the fact that many of us who work during, a difficult work day, find that at the end of the day, we're stressed out. And we want to find a way in our daily life to be a little more aware of what we're doing. And to address that, many of us will pursue a kind of mindfulness practice, which helps us to feel like we're more centered or get more relaxed. But it won't always address the question of what actually is happening during the workday. Because even if you practice mindfulness, it doesn't mean that you're going to be any more aware of yourself during the day than you were before. So that's what we're going to talk about. What's behind that? Mm-hmm. And I think for many of us, our lack of mindfulness manifests as a physical problem, let's say back trouble, and it becomes pretty clear pretty quickly that even if you practice mindfulness, it's not going to address what's going on with your back because there's something more going on. And as we're going to see, it's what's going on is psychophysical, a little complicated, and we're going to see if we could break that down a little bit.
Mm. Yeah. So we're going to get into people's focus on bodily issues, back trouble. I mean, are we going to talk about, we're going to talk about people's focus on fixing muscular problems and what it has to do with awareness. Is that it?
Well, that's the question.
Mm.
Let's say that you have, I thought of a practical example for this, James. I think it's kind of interesting. Let's say you're having vocal strain like I'm having now.
Yeah.
I'm a bit old. And you find that your throat is getting tight. And for a lot of people, this will happen if you're on the phone a lot, speaking a lot. You can address the tightness in the throat, and there are various vocal methods that help with this. But the strain will come back, even if you've made useful changes, the strain will tend to come back once you go back into activity. So this raises the question why physical improvements or therapeutic changes or physical release won't address the problem and why it's psychophysical. Here you have an example of something that's mindless, something we're doing unconsciously, but it's not entirely physical because it happens in activity. And conversely, if we try to address it as a question of just becoming more aware by practicing mindfulness, we find that it isn't entirely mental either. So I would say that there are two aspects of the problem that we could break down here. Mm-hmm. One is the physical aspect, and one is the action aspect, which are intimately linked.
Okay. Yeah, so it's interesting. This is a thing that I was very interested in when I was working in an office. I mean, I would sit in front of a computer for, 6-8 hours a day. And I it wasn't throwing a baseball all day every day, and yet my shoulder hurt, and I was I was really disturbed at why my shoulder hurt. And I was, putting pillows under it and all this other stuff. And I really had no idea what to do with myself. And, I clearly had a physical problem, and I was, I was just sort of at a loss. And I would have never thought that it was I would have thought that it had something to do with maybe how I was typing, or maybe the type of chair I was using, But again, I was at a loss. you know, I was just interested in resting it or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So there's the physical side of it. So when we have a physical, when we have stress, we say it manifests, or we're experiencing stress, it seems to manifest physically. And I don't think that's a very accurate way of putting it, because when you're having a shoulder problem, nothing's manifesting. Something's wrong with your shoulders. There's not a manifestation.
Yeah.
Some underlying cause. The shoulder is the problem. But when you're having a problem like that, we're likely to describe it as a purely physical problem and look for a physical solution, like body work or physical therapy. But as you know, a shoulder problem of this kind, I'm not talking about a problem where you might actually have something really medically wrong, but a shoulder problem that happens as a result of doing repeated work of some kind, is never isolated, but is always going to be accompanied by a pattern of tension that's holistic, that includes the whole body. And the shoulder can't be addressed unless you look at the whole pattern of which it is a part. And that's really the first part of what we're looking at here, which is the physical side of what we're doing unconsciously.
Mm. All right. Okay.
Yeah, and there's more to say on this, but we'll start with that.
Okay. So we're going to be looking at like when you say the physical side, do you mean the muscular problems, like the musculoskeletal problems, or do you mean like how we do things? Like which way are you thinking of approaching this first?
Yeah, well, they're obviously related, but I would say in a way I'm talking about the musculoskeletal part of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when people use too much tension to do something, let's say you're raising the shoulder too much, musicians have problems often related to this, where musicians have to hold the arms up for hours at a time. It's very demanding. They'll experience that as tension in a particular part. But when in fact it's part of a larger pattern. So we're really speaking about muscle tension or harmful levels of muscle tension that can be reduced, and that results in a better working of the shoulder.
Mm.
And that's a really interesting part of the whole question of awareness, because when you make changes like that, you haven't even spoken about awareness as such, but your awareness is heightened. And there's a direct connection, because the muscular system, in a way you could say that it works in the service of activity, and activity requires attention. So the musculoskeletal system is directly related to our state of readiness and our background kind of foundation for being aware.
Mm.
So without even speaking about awareness as such, we're already speaking about heightening awareness.
Yeah.
So, and we'll get to the next part of it. But go ahead, James.
Okay. I was thinking before, you mentioned that there was, when we're looking at a problem, for example, like you're talking about the shoulder problem, that's not necessarily a medical issue. Like, they haven't broken the shoulder, they haven't ruptured a ligament, but there is a definite problem there. When I was sitting at a desk, there was an issue there, but I don't think anything was severed. I don't think anything was broken. And so what you're saying now is like, there's different, it's possible that this was like harmful chronic levels of muscle tension. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, as the vast majority of problems of this kind are not actually medical in nature.
Yeah.
Now, again, doesn't mean that there aren't some that are, but the vast majority, just like back trouble, the vast majority of back trouble is it's sort of like a pyramid. The vast number of problems begin with tension and pressure and a strain before the in that you could diagnose being wrong. We tend, you know, when we look at it from a medical perspective, we tend to want to look for the thing that's wrong, the thing, the structure that's, some structural or identifiable cause. But usually that amounts to just describing the problem. Like we say, well, your shoulder problem is caused by inflammation of your shoulder joint. Well, that just begs the question why we have the inflammation. Anyway, but
right.
Its own, we could get into this as its own topic because it's kind of interesting. But
yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, like the different the different begged questions there. You know, we're describing inflammation. Okay, there's inflammation. How did you get the inflammation? Oh, was like a repetitive movement, this is like a repetitive stress. Well, so why should repetition of movements be harmful? You know, I don't think that's a question that a lot of people are asking. Like, why should a repeated movement be harmful?
Yeah.
Why should it lead to inflammation? Does it? I don't know. It seems like it's more interesting than just repetitive motions about things like inflammation and harm, you know?
Yeah, well, that's for sure. I think we should talk about this as a topic. I don't want to get too much into it because it's kind of going in a different direction. It's goes into the in the direction of what is what causes a problem like shoulder problems, that like these basic or back trouble that was basic musculoskeletal problems. And that's a whole topic in itself. But what about the question of general awareness? Why is it that when we make changes physically, we become more aware? I think that's sort of the first piece of our topic.
Yeah, that's a really interesting topic. I love that topic. I think that has to be one of the coolest things, but I think it also needs to be fleshed out because there's a lot of things that what do you mean by awareness being heightened? What do you mean by making changes? You know, there's a really interesting conversation to have around this.
Yeah. Well, you could say that muscle tension is associated with unconscious activity. And if you make changes in muscle tension, it's going to heighten your awareness. So now the opposite happens. Instead of being unconscious, now the physical system, the musculoskeletal system, becomes the foundation for heightened awareness. So you could say that one of the foundations for becoming more aware during daily activity is an improved physical condition. And again, that goes against the usual views where mindfulness is sought after as a kind of a heightened state in and of itself. And it also goes against a lot of the brain-based theories, which try to identify awareness as discrete neural systems. And it's not as simple as that, because the brain actually never evolved separately from the body. And as vertebrates, complex moving animals, our states of awareness are directly linked to somatic states. So we have a connection here between somatic readiness at the bodily level, and awareness. And even at that level, awareness is a new and emergent capacity in the human being that can be worked on and identified simply by learning to make changes at the physical level.
Yeah, that's fascinating. That's fascinating. So like we say, what's the relationship between awareness and physical issues? You know, like why should we bring awareness into physical problems? And this is a thing that we talk about all the time. If we're doing something harmful, then we need to become aware of it because we're doing it unconsciously. This is a thing that a lot of people say. But what you're saying right here is part of awareness itself isn't something to be brought into a physical problem, like, for example, tension. but it actually emerges, awareness or a higher awareness emerges from changing the conditions for the better.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like improving the organic conditions. Almost like awareness is actually a function of organic conditions.
Yeah, but it's not entirely a function of them, because children often exhibit the perfect organic conditions.
Yeah.
They're no more aware than us. So it's the organic, it's really the knowledge of the organic conditions.
Mm.
And knowing how to bring them about through our own conscious efforts as a learning process. So there's a really critical point that awareness is, as you say, awareness, often if people, let's go back to your idea of awareness as a kind of a way of addressing a problem. If we try to address the problem with awareness without knowledge, usually it gets in the way.
Mm.
People get into a terrible state. I did when I had back trouble years ago. If they try to use their awareness to try to figure out what muscles they're tightening, they get into a terrible state. Because now, in addition to having harmful habits, now they're trying to figure it out. You can't figure it out because it's too complicated.
Mm-hmm.
So awareness is not like a light that you could shine on the problem and somehow it's going to get better. That's mm-hmm. kind of, hopeful thinking, but it's not going to be very constructive. You have to have knowledge of how the system works. And on the basis of that knowledge, awareness now will be heightened as a result, as you say, as a result of the process of making improvements. And we're making the improvements at a conscious level, which is different than what just being given perfect bodily conditions, which won't help us to begin with.
Mm.
And I would say this is sort of the first, whatever I call it, kind of like the first level one way of looking at mindfulness as a bodily based discipline that begins with heightened awareness at a kind of kinesthetic level.
Okay. Yeah, that's an interesting distinction that you make, Ted, about, the awareness, the new awareness that you can gain from making beneficial changes. The new awareness isn't totally dependent on the changes themselves. It's almost like you said, this is a knowledge thing. So they're more like emerging from your recognition that there's a difference, your recognition that conditions have indeed changed, almost like you see something new in comparison to the old.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it makes me think of a Jung quote that I heard many years ago that I still, sort of remember, where Jung said, in the final analysis, consciousness is always the decisive factor. So yeah, someone can make these changes, but if you're not engaged in the process in some way, or if you're not, if it's not part of an educational process, but simply therapeutic, or if it's simply mm-hmm. to you, or if it's a matter of kind of routine training, you're not mm-hmm. going to benefit. But if you see the change yourself and can thoughtfully identify it, then yeah, there's an increase in consciousness and there's some benefit to that.
Mm. Mm. And it's so interesting that it's like, it's an increase in consciousness, and it's also, I don't know, like a new perceptual faculty, almost like they're not separate. If you're coming in with, say, a problem with your shoulder, like excess tension in your shoulder, and it's just pain and you kind of don't know what to do about it, and then the change in the shoulders that we're talking, kind of suggesting that we'll talk about in later episodes in more depth, but like, the change occurs and the tension relieves and the shoulder works better, and you're aware now of the shoulder in a way that you weren't before. you know, like not only is it not painful, not only is it, you know, the muscles have released, but there's clearly sensory function there that's been restored. You know, there's muscle sensory function, there's tendon sensory function. And we know that the muscles and the tendons are invested heavily with these sort of sensory organs. So they're almost like working now. And they're working before your very eyes. So they're working, okay, but the consciousness, like the recognition that they're now working and they weren't before, is like a whole new level of awareness.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It's like a new, I mean, I think of kinesthetic awareness as something you could use to, you know, identify tension or some strain, but we're missing the fact that the kinesthetic awareness is its own, that becoming aware in the way you're describing is a higher level of kinesthetic awareness that in a sense has never appeared in evolution. It's one of the things, and again, I think there are many of these. I don't think there's one kind of awareness. I think awareness is multifaceted, but this is one of the aspects of awareness that is possible in the human being when given the proper knowledge. And I think this is one of the areas where we don't have adequate knowledge, because everything is reduced either to sort of crude mindfulness practice on the one hand, not by everyone, I mean, but in the popular way of thinking.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Everything's reduced to mindfulness or I don't know, bodily changes, or mindfulness that produces some, you know, benefits and relaxation or lowered stress, but there's much more to the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, this is really a topic. I mean, about, you know, we say bodily awareness, but it's so meaningful. It's so rich. You know, there's the organic function of muscles and tendons and fascia. There's the sensory organs within them. It's the fact that they're sensory organs themselves. There's the knowledge of what's happening. There's the, you know, there's probably teachers around you explaining things. There's the potential to understand the body as an architectural structure. And then there's also, you know, the issue of, you know, we're starting this, and it seems like it's almost necessary, not just to start this conversation, but even to start this journey from the point of view of something going wrong. You know, like you said before, like a little child, if you look at a little child, you know, one of the claims that you make that I totally agree with is that a child's, for example, shoulders are functioning very, very nicely in like a typically developing child. They're functioning very nicely. There's no excess strain. The child is very comfortable. They have an enviable musculoskeletal coordination, and they exhibit it. But they're not aware of the architectural function of the shoulders in the way that you're talking about,
yeah,
which is what you said before. But then an adult for whom those same anatomical structures start going wrong and giving them problems, then they're going to seek out the solutions to those problems, you know? And it's almost like, you know, like, why would you need to learn about the shoulders in this experiential way where we're gaining knowledge about them?
Yeah.
Why would you even need to go through that if they were already working well? So it's all, you know, like you said, you know, we were actually chatting before the podcast started. We're talking about how, was it like, did you say Gurdjieff said, you know, the problem is the blessing?
Yeah. Yeah, we wouldn't look at it if we didn't have the problem. And we wouldn't gain the knowledge if we didn't have the problem. So it actually is a door into the into more knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get the knowledge, you could easily say, well, we figured out a method or particular practices that you could use to solve the problem, but we need to do more than have practices. We need to have, we need to appreciate the fact that this is a new aspect of education. This is yet to be introduced where it belongs in the field of education, because this is part of what we need to know about ourselves as we develop. Mm. And we're going to address that in a future podcast, as you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so when you say, just as a, I just like want to follow what you're saying. When you say this, like, you know, you're talking about mindfulness as a condition of organic function, but also as, you know, the solution to problems. You know, could you just expand on what you mean by that?
Well, I mean, you heard about the body going wrong, that the kid and a child, you know, the shoulders can work perfectly. And then when they don't know why it went wrong. But why does it go wrong to begin with?
Yeah. And
why do we not address that as an educational problem?
Okay.
Okay, James, let's switch to the psychophysical part of the problem, because I mentioned earlier that when we have a symptom of stress happening, something that's happening in our daily life, like back trouble, we see it as a physical problem when it's really a larger, you know, awareness issue. But then there's also a psychophysical component. So let's say, to go back to our shoulder example, that the system is working better, you're more aware. The moment you go back into activity, however aware you might be, it's the activity is going to trigger the old way of using your shoulder. And here we get to a different part of the problem, because now we can no longer describe. Now we have to begin to use a different level of description to get at what's happening. So if the shoulder is working better and you're more aware and your awareness is heightened, that's good. But why is it that when you actually have to go back to playing an instrument or using your arms at a desk, why is it that the shoulder begins to hurt again? Because the condition of the shoulder is not separate from your decision to use your arm to write. The two are part of a total pathway or a total activity, which I would describe as psychophysical. And we now have to figure out how to maintain that awareness throughout the activity in order not to return to our old way of doing things. And that raises a different set of problems, and also it heightens, gives us even a new and higher level of awareness that we can come out of this process with.
Mm. All right. So, you know, we started the discussion with, like you said, a physical issue, like say excess tension. And then we suggested that there's like a, you know, there's a way of getting excess tensions to release, you know, to put it simply. And then things work better. You know, the shoulder, for instance, works better. But then you're saying that there's a whole nother layer, because the shoulder is not going to work better forever now. In fact, you've got to operate your shoulder in order to do the things that you want to do, like, you know, hold the pen and write. So you're operating your body, and it's something about the operation of the body that's leading you into the problem in the first place.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's complicated, because now you've got the question of why is it that the shoulder, I mean, is working better. Why does it start to work wrong again? Because there's a huge amount of activity that is initiated the moment you use your arm.
Mm-hmm.
Now here we have a problem, because if I use my arm at a desk, it's a voluntary action, is it not? I mean, it seems that I'm in charge, and we think of movements like arm movements at a desk as voluntary movements, and voluntary movements are governed by what appears to be the mind telling the body what to do, and that certainly seems to be the case. We don't contemplate the question all the time, but amazingly, when I want to raise my arm, I can raise it.
Yeah.
But the fact that I have conscious control over my arm, which I clearly do, I choose to do that, and I do that,
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean that I know how I'm doing it, or that most of that activity that goes into that process of raising my arm is conscious. Most of the activity that goes into raising my arm is unconscious.
Yeah, like how many, this is something that you talk about. How many muscles are there in like one side of your shoulder? Is it like 17, you know, like 17 on this side, 17 on that side? Is that right?
Well,
Did I
that's
get the
just
number
the
correct?
yeah, just attaching to the shoulder girdle, and you have a bunch of arm muscles and deeper spine muscles, neck muscles. Then you get into the, hundreds when you're talking about
Yeah.
all the muscles involved.
And it's like, how could I possibly? I mean, I'm aware that my muscles are, you know, I can like feel my muscles being tightened when I do this, and I could sense that I'm moving and feel, but like, how could I possibly be aware of the messages from my brain, for instance, that needed to be sent in order to like operate my arm like this? I'm not,
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, like it's like ridiculous to even contemplate, but it seems kind of, you're right. Like this is a voluntary action, but everything that's going on underneath it is below my level of awareness and therefore involuntary.
Yeah, but the so now the question is, how do you overcome the problem, not simply at the, sort of physical organizational level, but at the level of becoming more conscious of what's putting it wrong or what you're doing in action? And here you have a new kind of awareness where now we want to see if our new organization of parts, the improved organization of parts with a certain heightened kinesthetic awareness, we want to see if that can replace the old way. And that is another kind of discipline or another layer in the problem of how to approach these actions. And when we can do that, now we can stop interfering with the body in activity because we are replacing the unconscious messages that are going to the shoulder with messages that are more conscious. I would describe that as a new level of consciousness in action or conscious control. And here again, we have a level of a new element of awareness that is bodily related. It's not the same as just simply practicing mindfulness, but leads to an element of mindfulness that you can't get from just a meditative practice alone. And so now we have another emergent aspect of awareness that we have to develop if we want to become aware, not just as a mental state, but in activity and what we're doing in daily life.
And this is, how do we do that? Like, you know, we've got to, you know, you said you've got to, you suggested before that it's, there's physical changes that we can have happen. And this is good, it's beneficial, it's kind of a restoration of function, and we get more awareness. But then, you know, we have to figure out. Yeah, it's like a tall order. We've like got to figure out how to operate the, you know, for, you know, to keep it simple, how to operate the shoulder in a way that's not going to mess it back up. You know,
Yeah.
and like we said before, the shoulder is not a simple bodily system. It's incredibly complicated, and the messaging system is unfathomably complicated. So how is it even possible that we can do this? And like, what does that entail?
Well, for one thing, we're no longer at the level of trying to figure out how to operate the shoulder, because the shoulder problem was symptomatic of a larger pattern of unconscious activity. So we're talking about we've broadened the problem because it doesn't matter now if you're looking at the throat or the shoulder or some whatever specific area, because we're talking about the question of raising any action we perform to a more conscious level, subject to this. That's what this is about. It's about the discipline of
That's the new
becoming,
book, right? Yeah.
the discipline of
Yeah.
becoming aware at the bodily level, or sort of the bodily level of mindfulness, which is our topic here.
Yeah, so we're not even figuring out how to operate the shoulder. You've just said, yeah, like this is, That's a nice way of poking a hole into that question. It's like, you know, we're not figuring out how to operate the shoulder. The question is different now. The question is, what is it? Is it a mental question? Is it a psychological question now? Is it a perceptual question?
Well, you know, it's both. So it's both at the kinesthetic level, we have to identify how we've interfered with the shoulder. I don't think we can ever figure, you know, we can never, it's not our job to figure out lower level functions like how the shoulder naturally works. It's our job to figure out how we interfere and to stop interfering. And that's one part of it. That's the kinesthetic sort of foundation. And then the next level is, well, if we're establishing a kinesthetic foundation for being more aware at a bodily level, that involves new messages to stop interfering with, let's say, the shoulders, but other parts as well, that replace the old messages. And so it's grounded in something bodily, but it's also psychological because the old messages are brought into play when we do something or choose to do something. And the new messages come into play when we learn not to give in to that old way. So it becomes a kind of a process of detaching from the old way and learning to perform in a new way. So the element of it's interesting because the issue of detachment comes into it, even though we're not practicing detachment in the norm, you know, in the way we might associate with Buddhist practice, let's say, thought. But there's an element of detachment that has to come into this if we want to learn this, because we have to learn to become more detached about how we perform these actions.
And is there a, I think the answer to this question is yes, but is there a parallel here from before when physical conditions improved and emergent awareness comes about? You know, the organic conditions improve and the sensory organs restore their function somewhat, but we're also comparing it to how it was before. We're using memory, we're using understanding to really emerge into like a higher level of awareness. Is there a parallel here? We're constructing a new, more complex level of awareness of action of the process of activity on top of the restored organic functions, the restored understanding of how things work. And what also are we becoming aware of here? We're already aware of physical
Oh, I
things,
see. Yeah.
you know, like what emerges? Is there a new level of awareness that emerges, and what does it look like?
That's a good question. I think. Kinesthetic awareness is heightened. That's clearly part of it. But along with that, the mental field is quieter because we're able to notice when we are preoccupied with doing things or generally preoccupied. So we tend to get quieter mentally. There's a mental component. So as our awareness gets heightened, the mental field gets quieter, or the perceptual field. And if you've learned how to do this in practice, you can actually identify when the old messages are sent and you've gone back to your old way of doing things. And I describe that as kinesthetic, but subtle, because it's not kinesthetic awareness of a particular area, but it becomes, again, like a heightened awareness of when you're reverting to your old way of doing things. So you gain a new instrument of perception in action that enables you to identify when something happens in the old way and when you're able to do it in the new way. And that heightened awareness is a more conscious state, a more conscious awareness of how you do things.
Yeah, you know, because I was just going to ask, as you were saying that, is it what sense field or what aspect of perception are you perceiving the old way of doing things with? Is it your kinesthetic sense? Is it mental thoughts that come up? Is it both, or is it something entirely emergent?
Well, I think any of these things are emergent. I mean, right. But I think it's not the same as a meditative state that's applied, you know, when you're practicing just a pure meditative practice. It's something different, but there's overlap. But I think it's a kind of, a new level of psychophysical awareness. But that goes to the larger question here. We began with a physical problem. We began with the idea that if you're going through your day and you're stressed out, and then you say, well, I'm finishing my day, I'm on the phone a lot, I'm speaking a lot, and I find that my stress level is increasing. We regard that as that problem is more, I don't know, psychological or stress related. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if we come out of, you know, after finishing a day, our back is hurting, we call that physical. And we treat the two extremes. One is sort of a problem of trying to be more aware, as if that's somehow we could be more aware at a mental level that will solve the activity problem, and it really won't. Mm-hmm. Or we go to the other extreme and say, well, I'm having a physical symptom. That's because there's something wrong with my back. Mm-hmm. And that's also not going to be true on the whole. And what we've done is we've identified that the physical problem is part of a psychophysical whole, and the stress problem is part of a psychophysical whole. And the psychophysical whole is its own new aspect of becoming aware. And it's an aspect that I would consider to be a neglected aspect, because we don't even have language for it. For years, I wrote about this as kind of, you know, mind body, or, you know, how do you identify this? You hyphenate the words body and mind. Now I have kind of new language and new ways of seeing it. It's really amounts to a kind of a kinesthetic discipline. But at that level, if you identify this now as a new aspect of mindfulness, that I think has been kind of omitted from the larger subject of becoming aware, I would describe it as a new kind of psychophysical awareness that is linked to a higher state of mental awareness, but is also linked with a more balanced physical state.
Hmm. Yeah, even the word psychophysical is sort of like a, you know, it's a portmanteau. It's a, you know, it's a compromise word, you know. Yeah. And it's, you know, I know that you've been criticized for the use of that word, but it's, you know, we've got to figure out ways, you know, language has to come in order to describe these things, because what you're describing is not, you know, to say that it's not purely physical is like an understatement. You know, you're talking about, sensory feelings of muscles and joints. You're talking about performing actions. You're performing about becoming aware of the normally unconscious psychological processes behind your actions. You're talking about a new levels of awareness that emerge at each of those stages, all from the study of the fact that you get stressed out during your workday. Or the fact that your shoulder gets frozen from being a violinist, like that's an amazing thing. And psychophysical doesn't do it justice. You know, body mind and mind body unity doesn't do it justice. I mean, these are fascinating topics, and these are fascinating ideas, and they're like hard to describe, and they're hard to understand.
Yeah. You know, it's like we have a kind of an impoverished language for these sorts of things, because we pull them toward, well, what do I do about this? So what method should I practice? You know, sort of we oversimplify this topic. And in fact, the general attitude that we should be somehow, well, the general attitude most people will take to this is that, yeah, but you're still describing something physical. And, you know, it's still something I could do to kind of feel better. Yeah. And we don't say that if you were learning a high level, you know, a skill like Tai Chi or playing a musical instrument, we know that this is complex at motor level, perceptual level, cognitive level, awareness level. So we don't have an impoverished language for that. We have, in many ways, we have kind of rich language for that. And this subject needs it as well. That's why, again, I've described this in my book as a discipline. It's an art and a science and a discipline and not just a method. A method, if we dumb it down to the level of just being a simple, you know, mind-body method, it's not going to do it justice.
So what's that quote? Is it Rumi that you sometimes mention to us? You know, sense perceptions are the result of necessity. Therefore, man, increase thy necessities. And
I don't know if it was Rumi. It was a Sufi saying. Yeah,
it was a Sufi saying.
New instruments of perception come into being as a result of necessity. Therefore, O man, increase thy necessity so that you can increase your perception. Something like that. Yeah, sort of necessity is driving us here to increase our perception.
Yeah.
And here we're speaking of a new perceptual instrument that I wouldn't describe as purely bodily or purely mental, because it's so, it involves the whole moving, working organism as a psychophysical whole.
Mm-hmm.
So is this a good time to mention the book, James, and also the course? I'll let you.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're starting up an 8-week course in, you know, what Ted calls sensory motor awareness. It's a, you know, we're meeting twice a week with a review. 8 weeks, it's going to be what, like an hour and a half each class we're doing?
Yep.
Everything's going to be recorded, but it follows what you've been talking about, Ted. The notion that what we've been talking about today, this, you know, the recognition of physical problems of the type that we're talking about, the seemingly physical solution to those problems, and then the not quite physical, not quite mental causation behind those problems. All of this stuff is a really rich educational topic. Like, there's things to learn, but there's also a lot of work to do. There's a lot of things that you want to be able to do. You know, you want to be able to learn to bring about you know, beneficial muscular changes on your own, for instance. And like, what does that even mean when we say that? The book that you held up before, Sensory Motor Awareness, this is a curriculum that you've put together. And this course is, you know, a deep dive into these topics. You know, it isn't everything. 8 weeks is not enough time for all this, but you can find that if you go to thediamondinstitute.org. Diamondinstitute.org is the Institute's website. You can find our courses on there. We also have a back catalog of courses that you've offered in the past, Ted, that people can look at, and we're going to be adding to that periodically too.
Yeah, and then we're going to be also following this podcast here. We'll be doing another podcast in a couple of weeks where we're going to pursue some of the topics we hit on today.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to remember to thank you all for coming, for being part of this.
Yeah, thanks, folks. I mean, you know, we're going to be fleshing out a lot of the things that we've been saying today and, you know, before. And it's tough to, you know, to jump into this topic like this, you know, because we really have to talk about a lot of issues before we can really let loose, you know? But yeah, thanks for coming. Thanks for listening. This is a great pleasure. And thank you, Ted, for inviting me on here and having the conversation with you.
Thank you.
Yeah.